Welcome to week four of our series on the four agreements. I'm going to tell you now that I'm going to do a week five in a couple of weeks, because as we've been delving into the four agreements and we've been doing Wisdom Wednesday Zoom calls where we've been having discussions, some other insights have popped up. And so I'm going to do one final week, not next week, because we have a special event next week, but the week following, to talk about additional insights about the four agreements. So I've done this, I think, just about with every series that I do, where I say it's going to be a four-week series and it ends up adding a 5 weeks. This time I'm just saying, welcome to week four, dot, dot, dot. So it's, you know, reserve the right to add whatever weeks I want. I do anyway. So we're in week four of our series of the four agreements. And just a quick review about what has come before in our series is, in week one, we spoke about the idea of being impeccable with our word. Being impeccable with our ability to create. Now, this book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, suggests that we have all been domesticated by our society, our parents, our teachers, our ministers, by everything around us, so that we have been taught what is appropriate behavior and what is not. And we, as children, not knowing any better, have bought into what's acceptable and what isn't. And in some cases, as a result of our domestication, we have lost our sense of joy and our sense of who we are as individuals, because we needed to go along to get along. We need to be part of a community. We wanted to be fed. And so because we wanted to make sure we remained rewarded, we adjusted our behavior so that we complied. And so the whole idea of this book is that knowingly and largely unknowingly, we have made these agreements, our laws about how things should be and how we should be in the world. And that's created hell on earth for us, because there's a part of us that is longing to express and live in a place of freedom and unfettered joy. And because we aren't free to express that, we suffer. We often know that there's sort of the sense of disquiet that we might have within us, and we don't know what that's about. And so the idea of these four agreements is to help us to break those laws that we've decided and bought into as being accurate for us and our society. And so week one was, be impeccable with your word, which means don't do anything that goes against yourself. That's more than just not speaking speaking in a way which is not genuine, or, you know, say what you mean and mean what you say. It goes beyond that to don't do anything that will come back in some form to harm you. Because by doing so, you are actually doing something against yourself. So if you can break the agreement of it's okay to lie, it's okay to say yes when you mean no, to be mean to someone else because you know they're going to resent you and so it's going to come back at you. Be impeccable with your word is a big, big agreement to try to wrap your head around and then to break. Then we moved to week two. And in this week we spoke about a second agreement, which is don't take anything personally. No matter what somebody does to you, what life does to you, what the voices in your head might be saying to you, don't take any of it personally. Don't believe everything you hear. And don't take it on. And so I suggested a framework of four letters, A, B, C, and D. Allow for differences. People don't see the world the same way we see the world, and they see the world in a certain way, and they don't understand that we don't see the world the same way. So allow for differences. And then be a funnel, not a sponge. Be an observer, not an absorber. Notice, but don't take it on. That's what B is. Control your own reactivity, or another way of saying it is control your own lane. Stay in your lane. Don't sway into someone else's area and then get upset. Deal with yourself first. And then notice when they or when you engage, whether or not it is a dialogue, that is a two-way conversation, including two ears and one mouth, or whether it's a diatribe, which is just another word for a rant, where you just talk, or they just talk, and there's no listening going on at all. And if you hear a diatribe, either coming from your mouth or from someone else's, then know that you don't have to take it personally. It's just a person having a rant, and that can include you. So that was the second agreement. And then last week we looked at the third agreement. And the third agreement is don't make assumptions. And as I was preparing these slides for today's service, I realized that I wanted to put these little hints for ourselves about what we can do with these agreements. And I realized that I could make this into NCIS, which is be a criminal investigator, right? So notice when we avoid asking a question. Notice when we avoid asking the questions, the first thing. Then find the courage to ask the question anyway, to ask for clarity anyway. And then inquire. That was the one I didn't put in last week, but I'm like, oh man, I could have used that. So inquire. Ask the question. Find a way to gently ask the question, I would like some clarity here. Could you help me understand? And then ask yourself a question. Is this story that I'm telling myself, or is it the actual truth? Because often what happens is we tell ourselves stories because we don't know the answer, like we don't know the whole picture. So we make stuff up. And then we believe the stuff we make up. And then we treat the person or the situation according to the story we just made up. And so one of the things that really is helpful is to ask the question or let the person know the story I'm making up is ... And then accept the response. So ask the question. And I shared about a person wishing that they could have a baby and wanting a child, and their partner, their spouse, preferring not to have a child. But they never asked the question. When they finally asked the question, accepting the response. And then making a decision about what to do with that answer. So that's, you know, in 7 minutes or so, what we've done in the last 3 weeks. Today, we're going to talk about the fourth agreement. And that is, always do your best. No more and no less. Why is this agreement so important? Well, because it is the one that helps us to implement and frees us to implement the previous three agreements. The thing that we want to remember is that our best today is going to be different than our best yesterday and might be different than our best at 6 o'clock this evening and tomorrow. Our best changes depending on how we are and where we are. And so one of the things we want to allow is an awareness that we want to do our best based on where we are now. And the second part of this agreement is no more and no less. So let's talk about no less first, the idea of doing less than our best, which is something I imagine many of us have no trouble understanding, that when you do less than your best, you're not being kind to yourself. You are actually going against yourself. You're not being impeccable. We can all kind of get that, the idea of if you do less than your best, this is something that has a long-term harm for you. The question is why? Why do we do less than our best? And of course, like most things, there are many facets to the answer. It could be that we look at the pile of stuff that we're supposed to tackle in some way, and we don't know where to start. It's just too overwhelming. And so we walk away from it and leave it. Or we view the activity, this is a good example actually, as unrewarding, that it's a chore. And so even if we do put the time in, we do it with a level of resentment and no fun, and the effort to make it interesting goes away. And so it's not doing our best. We're draining our energy. Or we do less than our best by not doing it at all, by walking away, by giving up. And the main reason that we don't do our best and we do less than our best is that it just isn't fun. There's no peace and calm and sense of accomplishment that comes from not doing our best. And we see it as a chore, no fun, let's just walk away from it, it'll be there tomorrow. The problem, of course, is that there's always a consequence. And the consequence is that we create a level of hell for ourselves, because our self-talk then becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. It's too big, can't do it. I'm going to go sit and watch Netflix instead. And then while you're sitting to watch Netflix, you're like, oh, that's so big, I hate it. And then it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And we give up. And so one of the things we want to do is when we find ourselves on this round and round the merry-go-round, we want to find a way to circuit break that thinking so that we can move ourselves out of doing less than our best. Because when we're in that place of less than our best, we start feeling a little anxious. I mean, we know that stuff sitting there. We know that the job is boring, whatever it might be. But we start feeling at some level like this weight, because we know it's there. Or we feel disappointed, or we feel, I can't do it. I can never do anything. And then this becomes like this self-loathing and self-hatred that goes against who we are at our core. We start saying things like, life is a drag. It starts with work is a drag. This job is a drag. This is tedious. But then it spreads and spreads and spreads. And we create this pain for ourselves. Often it spills into pain for the people around us, because then they not only hear your complaining, but they also hear the energy and feel the energy of your own disappointment. So we don't want to do less than our best. What I found more interesting and more of a challenge for me is the idea in the agreement that says, don't do more than your best. Because I know, I'm looking around you, I know I'm not the only person here who is always on task. And this agreement, don't do more than your best, invites us to know when to stop, to know when we've reached a point of diminishing returns, where the little bit extra that you're going to do is going to take this much longer and this much energy. And if you have trouble with the idea of the words more than your best, because we've all been taught that more is better, and you know, there's a song in The Sound of Music, I'll do better than my best. Then think of it in terms of overextending. That may be a nicer way of understanding what we're talking about here. And one of our societal agreements, certainly the one that I have bought into, is you can always do more. You can always do better. If you can do some, you can do more. You can always extend yourself. You can always take the shirt off your back and give it to someone else. And then there's this sacrifice part, you know, where if you can sacrifice yourself for the good of others, how marvelous that can be. And it's like, oh, how wonderful. And so it's as if we're taught that it's not okay to say, no, I need to rest. No, I don't have the bandwidth to do this. And the consequence is that, again, we have this sort of low-grade discomfort, disquiet. Some would call it anxiety. We don't feel joy in the actions that we are taking at the moment, because we're always thinking about what else needs to be done and could be done, and we end up not being present in the moment. This leads to exhaustion, a sense of overwhelm, potentially a sense of resentment. And I see some of you nodding. sense of powerlessness. A sense of health. An example is given in the book. And the example is basically about a man who goes to a Buddhist master and he says, I want to transcend my suffering. So if I meditate for 4 hours a day, how long will it take me to transcend my suffering? And the master looks at him and says, it'll take you 10 years. 4 hours a day, 10 years. The man wants to do it more. So he says, how long will it take if instead of 4 hours, I meditate for 8 hours? And I'm sure he was expecting that the master would say less time. And the master says, it will take you 20. And of course, the guy is confused, like, how can that be? And the master replies, and I quote here directly from the book, you are not here to sacrifice your joy or your life. You are here to live, to be happy, and to love. If you can do your best in 2 hours of meditation, but you spend 8 hours instead, you will grow tired. You will miss the point and you won't enjoy your life. Do your best. And perhaps you will learn that no matter how long you meditate, you can live and love and be happy. How does it land for you when I read, you are not here to sacrifice your joy or your life? Did it stir anything in your body? It did for me. It's like a cloud can open. You don't need to sacrifice. So work for as long as it's fun. Do your best for as long as it's fun. If you're doing too little, it's no fun. Because it's creating this, I should, I suck, I'm not good at this. It's creating all of these horrible messages. That's not fun. And if you do too much, and you go on and on and on, that's not fun either, because you're depleting yourself. You're not here to sacrifice your life or your. Imagine the freedom of simply knowing that you have done your best every step of the way. You would have no self-judgment. You would not be subject to the judgment of other people because you have done your best and you know it. And it doesn't say always do their best. The agreement is always do your best because only you know what your resources are. And how would I suggest that you do that? I'll give you 4 ideas if I can get this to work. There we go. What do you want to do? First, stop. Pause. When last did you just stop and take a breath? So before embarking on an activity or before turning away from that activity and going somewhere else and turning it off. instead of responding to a question that someone is asking you that is a demand on your time, or even a request for your time, pause. And then, before we respond, presence. And what do I mean by presence? I mean, check in with yourself. Check in with yourself. How am I feeling? When that person made that request, what did my body do? Did I go, yeah, great? Or did I go, oh, I wish you didn't ask me that because now I have to disappoint you or disappoint myself because I had planned to do something different. So check in. And then ask yourself four questions that are to do with an acronym called HALT. Am I feeling hungry? Am I feeling angry? Irritable? Am I feeling lonely or alone or unsupported? And am I feeling tired? Because if you are any one of those things, your answer and your energy and your ability to do your best will be different. And then, as part of presence, what can I commit to without feeling overwhelmed? Oops, went the wrong way, sorry. I hit the wrong button. It's my screen I needed to move up. So then the next question that you can ask yourself is, as part of presence, is what is an honest response? If I wasn't feeling like I had to, if I wasn't feeling afraid, if I wasn't feeling some sense of need for safety, so I'm going to say what I should say, what would my honest response be? And then proceed with an honest yes, an honest no. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I just think that's one of the most wise, short pieces of wisdom that Jesus shared. When you say yes to an invitation, you're in, all in. And if you can't be all in, consider saying no. And if that feels like it's uncomfortable for you, then practice differently. Because persistence is what will make the master. If your tendency is to do less than your best, when you pause, stop. Before you sit on that couch, pause. Presence. What can I do? What is a reasonable thing for me to do? One of the things that I find helps when I've got an overwhelming task is to do six things or take 6 minutes. I make it into a game and I'll literally set my timer on my phone. Or these days I will tell, you know, the smart device who shall not be named, set a timer for 6 minutes. And that just gives me 6 minutes that I can have fun, do what I'm going to do, feel better, and know that I can go and sit on the couch 6 minutes from now. That's a way of negotiating with myself to do my best. And then do that. So that's the proceeding part. And just breaking these habits one tiny little bit at a time is how we buy into a new agreement. if our tendency is to do more than our best. Pause. Take a breath. Presence. Is this something I want to do? What would an honest answer be? If it's yes, I'm all in. If it's, yeah, I'd love to come with you and I have all these other things to do, then the honest answer is, even if I'm with you, I'm not going to have fun because I'll be thinking of all these other things. And so instead, say no. But we're so good at setting aside our own needs, our sacrificing our own needs, thinking that the other person's invitation is important, which it is. And what's true is that if we went to the other person and said, I'm uncomfortable saying no, and my honest answer is no. I'm scared that you're going to feel that your feelings are going to be hurt, and I can't do this with you. Now, if you can, and if it feels right, you can say, how about another day? Or not. But the idea of doing your best is to shift things that do harm to you. And if you're saying yes to something or someone, and there's a part of you that's resenting it, you are doing harm to you. So be all in yes or all in no. And I didn't say it was going to be easy, because we've built these agreements that say it's important to say yes. And of course, most of the time, yes is going to be the answer, but once in a while, it's going to be no. And that's okay. I want to keep going, and my body says I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. So, oh my God, that's hard for me. I will work until I can barely see. Is it doing any good? Not long term, I don't think. Maybe in the moment. So, do your best. Do what you can with what you have, with where you are. Pause. Take a breath. Presence. Where are my resources right now? What is my capacity? What is my interest? And then proceed. What is an honest yes? An honest no? And then persist. We didn't learn to walk without stumbling a few times. We will not break these agreements that we've held for 25 years without stumbling. So that's okay. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. And I'll leave you with the words from the book. Do not be concerned about the future. Keep your attention on today and stay in the present moment. Live one day at a time. Always do your best to keep all of these agreements. Today is the beginning of a new dream. Always do your best. No less, no more. This is the path to heaven. I bless you.